Gear up, Dolphin fans, because it is about to be a wild offseason. Jake and Josh are piloting the ship as we prepare for a new era of Miami Dolphins football. If you don't already, follow them on Twitter at jmendel94 and at Houts. Help our community grow by hitting the subscribe button and leaving a review. We thank you all for the support. Now let's talk some football.
The 2022 NFL draft came and went, and I think the Miami Dolphins did pretty darn good. Welcome in, folks, to a brand new episode of SB Nation's Finsider Radio, The Jake and Josh Show. We have lots to talk about regarding the Miami Dolphins' brand new 2022 NFL draft class. But first, let me welcome in my co-host, the one, the only, Jake Mendel. Jake, man, how's it going today?
Josh, hope is at an all-time high. There's no games going on, but we have so much NFL content to talk about here. This is it. You know, you get free agency, and this is it until we start getting our Instagram videos of drone footage of, you know, Mike Gesicki catching balls in the end zone. So what we're going to do today, Josh, is we're going to give the Miami Dolphins a report card based on how they did in the draft. And I guess the thing I want to ask you is this a report card you're going to wear with a badge of honor, or is it one you're going to try to hide from your parents as long as possible?
I always hid those report cards, always. So I'm fine hiding this one. Wait, no, this was a great class. This was when you run up, show your teacher, you put on the fridge for sure. But I was always the student that tried to hide that thing from his parents. What about you, man?
I did it once, and I don't know why I didn't think my parents would look in my backpack. I guess I wasn't that good of a mental chess player back then.
Not at all. Sounds terrible.
But it was never terrible. I was kind of sneaking through my B-minus self, and I think that's kind of how I feel about this Dolphin draft class overall.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it. I mean, we talked about Channing Tindall a little bit. We did our Finn slider, the quick review on that, 15, 20 minutes. Check that out if you haven't. But this pick, again, Jake, I'm surprised he was there. This was a guy that I thought was going to be drafted a little bit sooner. So I don't think we should talk about him too much. We should probably focus on him during a book club. But, you know, after a few days, after things have settled, what are your thoughts on Channing Tindall? Give me your thought on the 102nd overall pick, because, again, I think both of us agreed heading into this draft that was that immediate need, at least defensively.
Yeah, that was like the one need, right? You could make the case for pass rusher, and spoiler, they drafted a pass rusher too. But you look at this pick, and Josh, I think the thing I get stuck up on is inside linebacker Channing Tindall. Just the way I watch him play, man, he screams outside linebacker to me, just his speed, his quickness. But I think that also speaks to the way the NFL is developing, where you need these guys to be quick. You don't necessarily need the thumpers, even though, I mean, having a Landon Roberts tackle a dude through another dude is forever going to be one of my favorite things.
Yeah, I mean, he goes to what he's been talking about. I mean, we have a quote here about the versatility. You know, the way they use their linebackers is different. They use their linebackers everywhere. They put them on the edge sometimes. They put them on the line. They put them at Mike, Will. They are very versatile, and their linebackers do it all. And that kind of goes to just the way he plays. I mean, you mentioned it. He can, you know, play traditional middle linebacker, drop back in coverage, come up and, you know, attack the run game, but then he can line up on the edge, kind of like you see with Jerome Baker. So I think I called him a heat-seeking missile. Yvonne corrected us and told us that he's a torpedo. So sideline to sideline range, again, I just cannot believe, you know, I did one mock draft, so maybe that's the only reason I'm surprised he fell this far, but I love this pick. I gave it an A-minus, Jake. Again, we can talk about him till we're blue in the face. 35 total tackles last year, 7.5 tackles for loss, and 5.5 sacks. So he just got better every year, man. So I'm excited for it. Gave him an A-. What were your thoughts?
I went with a B. Now hear me out here. I know I'm the wet blanket, but I look at how much they're going to have an impact their rookie season. And Tindall, 7.5 tackles for loss last season, 5.5 were in the sack variety. Additionally, this is a player who, while we said it is a little bit on the lighter side, we don't necessarily know how good he's going to be against the run. He's someone who got better as the season went on. And that's kind of where I get excited, because you see players, especially when they're young, you know, the rookie wall, as some call it. But Josh, the main reason I gave this a B is because the Dolphins do have depth at this position. Landon Roberts is a leader. Jerome Baker is a leader. And do you happen to know who the Dolphins picked in the third round last year?
No, I should. I got nothing.
That's exactly. It's Hunter Long, who barely played at all. So the way I look at this, or the way I'm going to try to grade this at least, is opportunity and need. Yes, it's a need for the Miami Dolphins, but I don't know if we're going to see him have, you know, the impact of, you know, maybe drafting a center would have been, who someone can step in and start right away, even as a third round pick, where I think Tindall's going to take a little time to grow in. And I wouldn't, I guess I could have skewed it a little better for being a third round pick, but I like the idea of a B because I think he's going to be given a role and I think he's going to excel at that role. I just don't necessarily know how big that role would be, at least as a rookie.
Yeah, great point. I mean, at least early in the season, right? I mean, maybe he'll earn those reps like he did in college and eventually take over, because I think we talked about in the last pod, all of those linebackers that they currently had on the roster, they ran it back from last year, but those guys are all on one-year deals. So he's clearly the future. He's clearly going to take over that role. But I throw Travis Wingfield's name out there because he showed some plays from the college football playoffs. And I mean, you can just see the type of talent this guy is. So I'm excited for him, Jake. But you did mention how the Dolphins could have drafted a center. And I think, you know, with this next pick, that might have been my biggest gripe of them all, is that, you know, with the way the board fell, Zach Tom was there. I think everyone, you know, we were talking about Alec Lindstrom. We thought Matt Applebaum liked him. You know, spoiler alert, he must not like that guy at all. Wanted nothing to do with him. But the Dolphins drafted Eric Ezukoma. Hold on, let me do that again. Eric Ezukoma, right? Eric Ezukoma, wide receiver, Texas Tech, 125th overall. I had to say he was the 420 pick. Everyone kept calling him that, but had 40 receptions over the last three seasons, 15 total touchdowns in college. And when you put on the film, Jake, I mean, I don't want to say he's Debo Samuel, but he's Debo Samuel. No, I'm just kidding. But you see him in motion, man, on the jet sweeps. You know, they were very creative in the way they used him, you know, pre-snap motion, lining him up, creating those mismatches. I mean, this guy was a playmaker, fits a similar mold as, you know, Cedric Wilson, some of these other guys on this roster. But, you know, at first I was sitting there, you know, why'd they make this move? But once you turn that tape on and you see what he can do with the ball in his hands, you know, see the way he can high point that football, it does make sense when you just think that this Dolphins receiving core could just be one injury away from, you know, Eric Ezukoma being the next man up.
Yeah, so I think from, you know, following the third round, when you get into that day three, I like thinking about it as, where does this front office, where does Mike McDaniel, see where they can plant a couple acorns and maybe grow something for the future? Josh, I'm going to put you on the spot again. Who'd the Dolphins draft in the fourth round last year? No one. The answer is no one. So you don't have no one to really compare that to. You have Solomon Kinley a year before. He started. But the way I look at how they're going to use Ezukoma is in the special teams. I was given a little shout, or I got to give a little shout out here to our boy Eric on Twitter at @AlizNZondo. Give him a follow for some very unique, strong perspective on the Miami Dolphins. He mentioned, hey, what about Matt Collins? Matt Collins is no longer here. Is this going to be that special teams guy? Is this someone who can step in right away and maybe have that impact in, you know, that third level of the game?
Yeah, make sure you give Eric a follow, because I've been following him since I joined Twitter, and he's been one of, you know, he's always dropping film knowledge, anything on the Miami Dolphins. But that's a great point, Jake. I think one thing that you have to look at here is the Texas Tech, you know, connection here. Wes Welker being a Red Raider, you know, Eric Ezukoma being a Red Raider. I mean, to me, the biggest aspect of his game that could take him to the next level is the route running. So, you know, you're coming in here working with Wes Welker, you wonder how much say he had in that pick. But I guess the ultimate question I had, Jake, is where do you see him fitting in on this depth chart? I mean, you run down the names. I mean, he might be fourth on the depth chart, and that's if he wins the battles. I mean, I was high on Lynn Bowden, man. I don't know what you think this means for him, but this to me at least spells a little bit of trouble. But I also had to throw out, he has the same birthday as me. He has the same birthday as me.
I like that, using the Lynn Bowden comparison, because I think when the Dolphins traded for him, it was to have this type of player, right? The Debo Samuel, we're going to just keep saying it over and over and over, but the guy who is going to catch some balls, but hey, there's going to be opportunities to take it out of the backfield, especially in and the way Mike McDaniel can develop some mismatches. I think he can be really used in a really unique way. And Josh, I think to also put it in perspective, when you look at the depth chart, I mean, Devontae Parker, his 73 targets are gone. Albert Wilson had 39 last year. Matt Collins had another 28. Ford, Preston Williams, and Will Fuller combined for another 40. So there's going to be some snaps out there for these guys to kind of come up and grab. So I think I want to ask you, man, would you be shocked to see him like beat out Preston Williams for that number four spot? Because I think to me, that's who probably we're looking at as that number four receiver. Lynn Bowden, I think, is going to be someone who his spot on the depth chart is going to kind of be a lie, kind of like when you look at some, you know, defensive ends, some defensive linemen, Zach Sealer, for example, where they're not necessarily starters, but they're going to find a way on the field as often as possible where they're going to have a starter quality number of snaps.
And that sounds good to me with Lynn Bowden, man. But I'm sitting here just wondering if you're trying to bait me again. Is this not another podcast where you're trying to get me to sit here and say Preston Williams is going to be something he's probably not going to be? So I think Ezukoma could definitely, you know, supplant him on that depth chart. And again, I think he can do a little bit of everything, play on the outside, play on the inside. And you just wonder what Mike McDaniel has up his sleeves. I just think it's a little crazy, Jake. You know, they brought in Tyreek Hill, Ezukoma, the different moves they're making. It's Ezukoma, the different moves they're making here, man. This is supposed to be a run first, right? This offense is pretty, you know, run oriented. That's a big part of that game. I mean, we're loading up on receivers, you know, similar mold. I'm excited to see what happens here, but I don't know, man, when that clock and the draft board fell the way it did, I thought for sure it was going to be a center.
Yeah. And I got to ask you too, the one position the Dolphins didn't touch at all is running back. How comfortable are you with this unit? I mean, if it's going to be Raheem Mostert, Chase Edmonds, Miles Gaskin, and Salvon Ahmed, how do you feel about that group? Because yes, I think there's a lot of talent there, but I mean, injuries happen all the time. And while I see the vision of taking a wide receiver for that same reason, I do wonder if we're going to see ourselves in a position, you know, week 13, 14, where we're going to have to sign someone off the streets to kind of hop in for a game or two.
Yeah, I had written down two guys, undrafted free agents, acorns that I wanted to talk about at the end of this. So that's where that running back was going to come in. They did sign South Carolina running back Zaquandre White, 583 yards last season on 88 carries. He's a playmaker, man, transfer from Florida State. So I know our good friend Rob Prophet had some strong feelings about him, says that he's just a grinder that's going to do anything he can to, you know, help the team out. So again, undrafted acorn, but I think that that could be a player that surprises, maybe makes the roster and, you know, maybe becomes a viable option later in the season, like you said, when injury does play a part. One quick quote from Eric Ezukoma here. I'm a versatile guy. I feel like I can fit in right where Jalen Waddle, the way he can take the ball out of the backfield as well as be a deep threat down the field, but also just a versatile guy with rack ability and yak ability. Jake, again, I thought it might have been a center, maybe another position, but I'm going to give this a B- after putting on the tape. What about you?
I'm weirdly enough going with a B+. I just think this is a really strong depth. You know, you're focusing on bringing in good players, and I think that's what the Dolphins did here. And nobody has ever had the issue of, oh no, we have too many good wide receivers. So I like the vision of you're laying acorns, man. You don't know how long a lot of these receivers are going to be around. I think this is a great opportunity for someone to come in, get some snaps on a relatively consistent basis and see if they can make the most out of that opportunity. But with these two, it's important to keep in mind because, you know, the NFL, we're on a cycle where we're talking about this 24/7. We can't sit here and freak out about every seventh round pick or undrafted guy who shines a little bit, you know, in the preseason or in training camp. I think this is a guy who's going to be a little more than that. I think he's going to be close to a lock to make the roster. And that's what I think it's important to keep in mind here, especially as we move on to these other players. And man, Josh, something to me just really sticks out. And we'll start with Cameron Good, the edge out of California, 24 years old. He started 37 games at Cal, 21 and a half career sacks, 36 and a half tackles for a loss through his career. He is an edge who can rush the passer, and that's kind of what the Dolphins had needed. You know, you have Emmanuel Agba, who is great at batting balls down. He's going to get his sacks. He's also someone who can set the edge, but you always need more guys who are going to get to the passer. Josh, I got to ask you here, when you see 24 years old, do you see this as an interesting approach by the Dolphins? Because both of these guys that they picked in the seventh round, 24 years old, 25 years old, these are guys who, you know, are probably done growing in terms of, you know, height, putting on body mass. Do you think that gives them a little bit better of an opportunity than, you know, someone who might have had a little less of a productive career and you're kind of hoping to get a ceiling out of once they turn 23, 24, whatever it may be? Does making you're drafting someone who's 24 kind of set that floor a little bit higher?
That's a good question, Jake. I mean, it's definitely interesting, and you know, that they're going after some of these older players. I mean, the guy, Skylar Thompson, we're going to talk about him, man. I don't know if you saw my joke online, though, about Cameron Good, and it was, you know, you can't spell Cameron Wake as good without Cameron Good, and I you know, he wears number 19. We know that number's cursed, so I would like to see him come in here, you know, become that defensive end, that edge rush, pass rusher, you know, to wear the number 19. And we can just say that, you know, it's the whole 91 flip, right, for Cameron Wake. But, dude, this guy, I mean, he can set the edge. He's a pretty damn good pass rusher. I mean, I have a video that I did for, I think it was against TCU, man. And he does a spin move where he takes out the tackle and the quarterback. I mean, you see maybe why the Dolphins went after him. I mean, obviously he's probably going to be nothing more than depth this year and hopefully build into that role, but he can rush the passer. He can set the edge. He can do a little bit of everything. And you mentioned Emmanuel Ogba. I mean, when you put on the tape, you can see him getting his hands up, being a critical, you know, disruptor in the passing game. So I can see what the Dolphins liked here. And again, maybe it's just, I mean, when I'm looking at this draft class, it's hard for me to remember. This dude was a seventh round pick. So I thought he was a pretty talented on tape. So I like this move. Again, a position that I thought maybe they would go center. Alec Lindstrom, I think, was still on the board at that time. Some other players. But when you turn on the tape, again, I'm just going to pretend this is the next Cameron Wake.
Hey, this is the time of year to do it. Nobody can tell you you're wrong. There's no way to do it. Just a little bit of perspective, man. Round five picks 2 years ago for the Miami Dolphins, Jason Strobridge and Curtis Weaver. We thought we were going to get a little bit of something out of either of them. And Curtis Weaver,
we were all stoked on him. Wasn't he like supposed to be like a second or third round pick? And he fell. Damn. Dude.
Injury issues. I think it was.
Yeah. And there had to be some attitude problems too, I'm sure.
And so that's why I'm kind of interested to see going with these older guys later in the draft, how that will work out, because I think you get a better idea of the talent of what they're capable of. And you're not, you know, wondering the question marks. It's not necessarily an acorn as much as it is that depth signing. And Josh, if you had to take a 5% chance to draft someone in the seventh round to become, you know, a relative starter, maybe just under a starter, a rotational player, or, you know, you get a 25% chance to instantly get that rotational guy. I mean, I kind of like what they did here.
Yeah, I do too. Again, when you put on the tape, I do have a quote here. He said, I play in a 3-4. I feel like I've been able to get my pass rush better throughout the years. I feel like I'm physical. I'm always going to be physical, setting the edge and things like that. I'm ready to get with Coach McKenzie and rush the passer. So he seems stoked, man. All these guys do. Not to get too sidetracked here, but you're always talking about Chris Greer's hat. Did you hear that Eric Ezukama got a hat during his visit with the Dolphins at the combine? I had to make sure I threw that out there.
Ooh,
he was wearing a hat.
That was actually Chris Greer's hat.
It could have been. That's why I had to ask you, man. I completely forgot about it, but he was on a Zoom meeting and he said, yeah, they gave me this hat during our meeting. So Charlie,
just imagine he just took it. He's just a sweaty ass hat off his head. Just popped it out of
Chris Greer will give a prospect the hat off his head. There, that's that. Always going to remember that.
I love that, man. I love that. These are the type of things that we need to start talking to these players. We need to get down to these important questions. Like, was Chris Greer already wearing that hat in that meeting? I think that is some 101 journalism right there. And Josh, finally, the moment we've all been waiting for. Actually, no, I'm going to hold it for a second. What would you give for a grade for Mr. Good?
Yeah, I was actually sitting here yelling, wait, no, don't go. We got to give our grades. And I was definitely muted. So I think I had this at a C- before, but then I went and looked at your grades and I definitely bumped them all up a notch because I didn't want to be, how you put it, the wet blanket. I went with a C+ here. Again, I'm going to pretend this is the next Cam Wake. I can see, you know, how he could fit into this rotation, you know, the type of player he is. I think he's hungry and I'm kind of excited for this pick. The more I watch, I'll make sure I have my TCU video hopefully tomorrow or the day after, so everyone can go and get excited about the next Cam Wake. What about you, Jake?
Side note for that too. Trent Brown, left tackle for the Patriots. He used to play right tackle for him. He went out, he was on, I think, part of my take, and he said that Cameron Wake was the strongest player he ever played against. So that was pretty cool. I love when he gets shout outs because I think he is a very underappreciated player in terms of the NFL. So I thought that was pretty special to bring out.
Has Wake retired yet? He still hasn't retired officially, right? Because when he does, they better put him in the Ring of Honor. I mean, I know they're pretty damn stubborn with the Dolphins, or they're pretty stubborn with that stuff, but I don't know that he ever officially retired, but he may have. I might have missed it.
That's a good question. We're going to have to come back to that one. That's a really good, because I mean, we would have gotten so many, like the Instagram thank you Wake, and how many times would we have seen...
a 250 word article in that.
How many times would we have seen that Bengals sack? I mean, 50,000 times.
How many times have I posted it? 30,000 probably.
Josh, I gave Good a B just because. Can you name how many defensive ends, pure edge rushers, the Miami Dolphins actually have?
Right now, without it in front of me, no, I got nothing, man.
We got Jalen Phillips. We got Emmanuel Ogba. Obviously, Phillips, a first-round pick last year. Emmanuel Ogba, we know he just got paid. But then, man, you're talking Adam Butler is listed as an outside linebacker, defensive end type, definitely more of a defensive end type there. But then Duke Riley, there, Sam McGuavin, Kelvin Munson, and then Cameron Good. I think Good has an opportunity to come in and earn some sort of snap count right away just because there isn't a lot of guys there. I think this is a position, man. We're talking a lot about how inside linebacker was so important for the Miami Dolphins. I think outside linebacker, yes, I really like Jalen Phillips. Yes, I really like Emmanuel Ogba, but they don't have any depth. And to get this in the seventh round, an older player who has this experience, I got to give it a B.
Okay. And Jake, you mentioned that, you know, you listed off the different players at the position. I don't know. We didn't talk on this, but the Dolphins had interest in Akeem Hicks and Carlos Dunlap. Those were two veteran free agents that they brought in at, you know, edge after the draft. So they might not be done adding to that group that you just named off. So something to keep an eye on for sure. But I think as it sits right now, Cameron Good could absolutely come in there and, you know, at least push for playing time. You were excited to transition to it earlier, Jake, but now is the time to talk about it. Skylar Thompson, the 25-year-old quarterback from Kansas State. He was the 247th overall pick. Give me your thoughts, Jake, because, I mean, I, as Malik Willis and those, some of those other quarterbacks fell, I mean, you kind of saw it start to think, you know, at what point do you think maybe the Dolphins just see, you know, I guess the value over, you know, the need and, you know, maybe what it would bring to add one of those players to the room. I mean, I thought it might happen, but, dude, Dolphins Twitter was up in arms. And just give me your thoughts on the 25-year-old quarterback.
Luke Folk. I mean, the Dolphins have always had this guy. I'm totally cool with this. You know, a 25-year-old quarterback, that's not something you pick off the streets every day. And this is freaking hilarious, man. You go to ESPN, Teddy Bridgewater is already questionable. So you don't know when the Dolphins will need a backup quarterback.
What the heck? Okay. Yeah. That's, I don't know how I feel about that. I think one thing that stood out with me, you know, he's 25 years old. Yes. Last season completed 552 of 885 passes for 7,124 yards, 42 touchdowns. Oh, wait, that was in his career. Never mind. Those were his career stats, everyone. But he mentioned how that just meant that he played in more games. You have more opportunities to come out there and, you know, show his talent. So this is a player that started more games, in which was 40, and has more wins, which is 24, than any quarterback in school history. So I have a quote here, but from what you heard from Chris Greer, Mike McDaniel, I mean, these guys were ecstatic. I mean, to add this player, I don't know what they saw on tape. They mentioned, you know, every big game that Kansas State played in, this guy, you know, took the game over and made a play when it mattered most. So they love his leadership. They love what he's going to bring to the locker room. But again, man, I just cannot believe the Dolphins drafted a 25-year-old quarterback, but you know, the Skylar is the limit.
Hey, I like that. And just to share a quick quote, did you share this quote already?
No, I didn't. I was going to, but I think I stopped.
And just a quick quote from him here. He said, "I'm a gamer. Just being able to make plays off schedule, on time, with my legs, with my arm. I feel like that's the summarization of who I am as a player. And I'm a guy that wants the ball in his hands when the team needs a big play. When they rely on me to make a play, and whether it's on fourth down, going to the end zone, red zone, whatever it may be, I want the ball in my hands in those situations. And on top of that, being a servant leader, I feel like I make those around me better. I'm going to serve my teammates at all times, and I put my team before myself, and ultimately that's what leads to success." Dude, this dude sounds like he's so ready to be a high school football coach for 40 years. Because yeah, that's exactly what I feel like with this. And I mean, just hearing that and just seeing someone, hey, he can kind of, if he has a defense that's making him feel uncomfortable, he can go off tempo. He can move around with his legs. Yeah, sure. And that's why, man, I gave this pick an A. Why the hell not? Seventh round pick. We're going to give him a little more attention. Who's going to get more snaps in the Miami Dolphins backfield as rookies? Skylar Thompson, Malcolm Perry.
I'm going to go with Skylar Thompson. Well, what about you?
He's going to play? You think he's going to play this year?
Oh, snap. I thought you were talking about quarterback snaps, because then I would say Skylar Thompson. I think they'd use him in some kind of wildcat. I don't remember that Malcolm Perry ever got utilized the way we wanted, Jake. But I wanted to ask you, I'm trying to find how many quarterbacks the Dolphins have on the roster. Do you have that up right now? Because I know they have Chris Streveler. I know they have, obviously, Tua Tagovailoa, Teddy Bridgewater. Now they have Skylar Thompson. Wasn't there one more guy?
That's all I see here on ESPN on the depth chart. And I think Strebler might be that one more guy you're talking about.
I'm trying to find who I'm thinking of. I can't, because I have his autograph.
Josh Howitt's answering the tough questions. It is a kind of an interesting quarterback room, as you see that dynamic. I mean, you have leadership in Teddy. You have college leadership, whatever that might evolve into, in someone like Skyler. And we have Tua on Instagram showing off his thighs. So, I mean, man, this quarterback room's in pretty good shape.
Yeah, did you see his bucket hat he was wearing today? I mean, that was dope, man. So I'm excited. I'm still trying to look this up because Chris Stradler played for the Cardinals last year. I cannot remember the quarterback. And it's bothering the hell out of me because if they still on the roster, that means they have five quarterbacks. That's the whole point I was trying to get at.
I got to ask you, Josh, you mentioned four or five quarterbacks. You signed Teddy Bridgewater to be a backup quarterback, a pretty well-paid backup quarterback. How many quarterbacks does this team keep on the roster? I mean, is Skyler just a practice squad guy all year?
I mean, that's what I would think, but I do know that he mentioned he had interest from, I think, San Francisco, the New England Patriots. I think a bunch of teams, you know, seemed to have some interest in him. He said he was kind of shocked that the Dolphins turned out to be the team that went after him. So I am so pissed off. I can't think of that name of this quarterback. I mean, I know he's not really, he's probably on the practice squad, or maybe he's in the USFL or XFL right now, but I cannot for the life of me think of his name. Jake, one more name I want to throw out there. Kellen Deesh, tackle, played 22 games with Texas A&M before transferring to Arizona State. Dude looks like a tight end. He was one of the offensive linemen the Dolphins drafted or signed undrafted, second fastest offensive lineman at the combine, ran a 4.89. And I mean, when you look at all these guys the Dolphins drafted, I mean, you see their athletic score, man. I mean, every single one of them, you know, is top notch, you know, different things there. Dude, we're running out of time. Do you see this? Can you see that or no? We got 10 minutes. A 10-minute timer just came up. This must be the longest podcast we've ever done. It says upgrade now to remove the 40-minute time limit. So holy crap, guys, you were in for quite the episode. I don't even remember where I was going with that. You can't see that timer. You can't see the shot clock.
I do. Yeah, we're down to 9:37.
Yeah, we're screwed.
So Josh, I got one more question from you. Out of the two seventh round picks, who are you more excited about 3 years from now?
Say it again.
Of the two seventh round picks, who are you more excited for 3 years
get
from
out
now?
Of here? Cameron Good. I cannot say I'm going to be excited for the quarterback, right? That would mean doom and gloom, all hell. I can't say that, man. What about you?
Dude, what was it 2 years ago where people had like photoshops of Luke Folk starting for the Dolphins for some ungodly reason? No,
I definitely did a breakdown on why he might like become something, or it was something like that. It was desperate times, man. I'm still trying to find this quarterback's name. I can't find it. I'm trying to find this damn quarterback that's on the practice squad, and I cannot find it.
And that's why this timer is showing up. That means our time is up because Josh cannot find this quarterback.
I think they cut him for Jake Lutton or whatever last year. So I still don't remember his name. Poor guy.
And he's not even on the team anymore.
I have his autograph. I ripped open a pack and recorded it, and I got his autograph, and it was worth like $6 or something. I cannot believe I can't remember this dude's name. All right,
not
man.
Worth the pack it was opened.
Yeah, I'm going to find his picture and tweet it out at some point.
I love it. But Josh, this clock is still ticking, so I'm going to get us out of here. Thank you guys for joining us for our draft special, our draft report card special. Let us know what you guys think about this draft, because I think it's interesting. I think there's a couple of guys here that are going to be a lot of fun to watch, especially in the preseason. And while the team only had four picks, I think that's what you got to keep in mind. There aren't going to be a lot of shiny new guys, except for Tyreek Hill. So keep that in mind. Josh Houts at HOUTZ on Twitter. I can be found at jmendel94. Josh, I think we're finding our rhythm here. I think we're going to start doing a couple more shows, and maybe we'll start with a book club. Who knows? I'm getting ahead of myself. But all I can say for now is please, please, please hit that subscribe button to know when a new show is coming. And if you can, if you want to share the show with a couple buddies, let them know how the hell did this guy give an A+ for the Dolphins taking a quarterback in the seventh round. I'd love to talk about it. I mean, that's so much fun for me. So please share the episode. So to help us grow our community, and we love doing this for you guys, and I hope you guys enjoy listening to it.
Yeah, and Jake, you mentioned Tyreek Hill. I mean, what would be your overall grade? I mean, I don't even think we said that, but I mean, when you add Tyreek Hill into this thing, this is A+++++. So yeah, that's just what we're going to say. Dolphins.
No homer.
A+++++, no homer. But guys, thank you so much for listening. Like Jake said, this episode of Finsider Radio, the Jake and Josh Show. We'll be back later this week. Until then, fins up.
Fins up.
That was Finsider Radio, part of the Finsider.com and the SB Nation Network.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're
We're talking Super Bowl because we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins number Miami has a dolphin, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami Dolphins.